This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast number 387. Girls will be boys, and boys will be Uhura.
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we have a brand new episode of our weekly podcast with some very nice featured players.
I'm so glad that you didn't say special guest this week.
That's why I said featured players, because I know you get really tired of me saying special all the time.
Well, they are special and unique snowflakes,
and we have special episodes, and then you get all pissed at me. So we have some very amazing featured players.
We do. Because
see what I did there?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Because we're going a little theater this week.
What?
Yeah.
We're getting all dramatic up in this piece?
We're having theater in a blender with sci-fi and ladies.
Mm.
Put that in a blender and you get our guests from the Post Meridian Radio Players, who I also happen to be a participant of.
Oh, snap!
Who knew? Everyone knew.
I did. Also, you did. And anybody who, follows your socials.
Which is, eight people. And
nice. I liked your Twitter.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But we're here with them today, and about five of them. Five. Well, five, because I'm here. Five.
Panda can count.
Yay. From the cast of the gender-swapped version of The Trouble with Tribbles, which was featured at Aresia this year. So, ladies, please, introduce yourselves.
I am Laurie Ann Cohn, and I play Nell Barris.
Hello.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I already messed it up, and I just got here.
No, you're fine.
I know. I'm Karen Sorrow, and I am Captain Jane T. Kirk.
I'm Liz Salazar, and I am the bartender.
Oh, you're many. You're more than that, Liz.
I'm also an admiral and Tribbles.
Nice.
And me, Panda, I am Cordelia Jones.
And I'm Sarah Brinks, and I play Miss Scott. And I am Mindy Klenoff, and I'm the director.
Thank you, ladies. So, first and foremost, thank you for coming on our show and being a part of our magic, as quirky as it is.
Oh, we're magic now?
You're having us.
We're totally magic.
Are we friendship is magic type magic? Or
we're sisterly
we
friendship is magic. Because we're sisters and we're friends.
Aw, are we? Sometimes I don't think we're friends.
Sometimes we have fights. Anyway, getting into the interview the questions.
Interview.
So, particularly for you, how did the whole idea of doing a gender-swapped Star Trek episode even come about? What was the process like?
Well, first I started thinking about Star Trek when I heard about Trek in the Park, which is a, production that they're doing, or that they've done in Portland, I think, which was featured on Portlandia, where they were doing, dramatic renditions of Star Trek episodes just for free in the park. And I was like, oh, that would be really cool for our radio play group. And then when we started talking about it on the mailing list, somebody was a female was like, hey, I would love to play Kirk. And my first reaction was like, okay, well, you can't play Kirk because Kirk is a boy. And then I started thinking about it. And I was like, I wonder what it would be like if all of the boys on Star Trek were girls. And that sort of set it off.
And, I mean, everyone seems generally on board with this concept, it seems. I mean, a cast did get developed. How, in the post-Meridian radio players, did that transition well? Did people seem generally on board with the idea? Was there a lot of skepticism about it even getting off the ground?
People seemed really excited about it, because we end up having more women than men in the audition pool anyways, often, just because that's often the case with theater. And people thought it would be kind of a neat twist on stuff. It was really funny having a show, though, where there was only one male role, which was Mr. Uhura, for people to audition for. And it was definitely unusual to have that much of a gender skew.
It has been quite interesting to do. when it finally got locked down, like, yep, this is going to happen, we're going to start auditioning, this is going to be awesome, was there any underlying goal to this version, this adaptation that you wanted to do? And then when it did finally go off at Aresia, do you feel like people initially got that goal or, like, went back later and then had that, oh, moment?
Yeah, there were actually a few things I wanted to accomplish. I mean, first and foremost, I wanted it to be funny. I wanted it to be fun. I wanted people to enjoy it and to feel like I was true to the spirit of Star Trek. My big goal was not to make it like making fun of the episode or like people playing drag or something like that. Like, I wanted to do a straight reinterpretation of this is the episode, but in an alternate universe. And then as the show developed, I started seeing all the things that popped out at you once you switched the genders, like things with Mr. Uhura that sound really, really funny when you swap the genders, like where Chekhov and Uhura are walking together and Chekhov says, well, he wanted to go shopping, so I thought that I would help him. And it just sounds really funny when you swap the gender. So it sort of points out the differences that you don't really notice in the original. And I think that people really did get that when they saw it at Aresia. Like, people thought it was funny and fun, but they also started noticing things in the show that they didn't notice when they just first saw it, the regular version on TV.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting thing, too, because for me, you know, one of the things that I did to try and prep before we did this podcast, because unfortunately I wasn't able to see the performance at Aresia, even though I wanted to go that night, and I was like kind of sort of there because I dropped Panda off. I started watching the original Trouble with Tribbles episode, and what was really interesting for me was as I was watching it, and I watched it through twice, was picking up on different lines that I thought would definitely sound much more different delivered by a woman or delivered by a man. Like you said, the whole shopping line piece and the original playing with the Tribble by Uhura and how she was so girly. And it's one of the few episodes where I felt like Uhura was pushed to be much more effeminate than in any other episode that she was in. I thought, okay, this will be very interesting to see portrayed by a guy completely in a non, you know, drag type way. And there were other lines that I picked up on as well. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing this performance because I think that it definitely adds a lens kind of on the time that the episode went out and things that were completely okay that if they were delivered today, either in the same sex or in different sex roles, we'd definitely be putting it on a pedestal of being sexist or in some cases even racist. So I think it's really interesting that you guys have put together a gender swap version because it's not something that would even have crossed my mind. You know, when you mentioned earlier of, you know, the person from the newsletter getting on the board and being like, I'd love to play Kirk and going, well, you can't be Kirk because Kirk's a guy. You know, that suspension of disbelief of, well, why does Kirk have to be a guy?
He doesn't!
He doesn't. I think is really interesting and allows for, I think, a little bit more creativity than always locking those particular known entities down into one gender or another. So I think that that's really interesting. And I applaud you guys for even going after the idea.
Oh, and you should see the performance that's coming up in the week because, one, it's going to be really awesome and, two, a minute. So, I mean, that's always the
point. There's that.
Anyway.
Well, it just depends on where it is because if it's Maleficent night, you're shit out of luck.
It is one of the nights, but there's two nights.
See, so I'm going the other night. Because I already bought, like, bomb-ass expensive tickets for Maleficent.
Yeah, I know.
Because Maleficent.
Fine. Anyway, moving back to...
Just saying.
Moving back to my question. So,
I got, like, Lux.
This is my last director. I guess we can even open it up to everybody else who's patiently here, but initially this question was from Indy also. Being that the cast is primarily female, I was just very curious about if you felt what was the strongest thing about having a primarily female cast and a weakness of having a primarily female cast, in your opinion as a director, and then we can open up to the other actors who are here.
I think that having a female cast, particularly like the Enterprise bridge crew and all these really awesome characters, just reminded me the versatility of female actors and reminded me how much women can do, and that was really exciting. But I also think that the cast has been really, like, bonding in sort of a unique way, and just has been enjoying spending time together, and just it's just been a really good group. As for drawbacks, I don't know. I don't think I can think of any offhand. It's a little weird sometimes, the one guy, I feel like, gets kind of sometimes, like, more attention than I think a guy normally would, just because it's like, it's the dude.
What about any of you other cast members? Do any of you guys feel like there's definitely a strong, like, one strong element about having a primarily female cast, or a weakness?
I mean, I think that we've really bonded, mm-hmm. like, almost instantaneously. Everyone that is in the cast was at least interested in Star Trek, so we had that in common already. So there's been a lot of in-jokes and laughing at the same thing. So I think that that helped really kind of bring us all together in the beginning, and then just the experience of performing together and rehearsing together has made us a close-knit group.
Basically that, you know, we're all, you know, in a way, in on the joke. You know, we're able to sort of poke at the gender humor that comes out of this, in that you have, you know, the first meeting between, you know, Jane Kirk and the Klingon captain who shows up in the episode, and that they're, you know, they're pretty falsely polite to each other, and, you know, in a petty sort of high school drama sort of way, in some moments, you know, and that's played a bit for laughs, but, I mean, aside from that, the episode still plays through, you know, perfectly believably.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I'm trying to think of a downside to the cast. I think
perfect cast.
I know. We're pretty freaking awesome. I always kind of feel like that. I almost wish we could rehearse more, because everyone has such busy schedules that a lot of the people in the cast I either didn't know well enough or didn't know at all before we started rehearsing. Mm. And so when we get together, we just, you know, we don't have everything in common, but we have enough in common that once we kind of get talking, we kind of sometimes forget that we have to have, you know, rehearsal. And I mean, that's why we have, you know, a director and a stage manager, because otherwise we would just be like, let's just shoot the shit now.
We would just chat all night.
Yeah, we really would. Yeah.
And for someone like me who is new, and I don't know everybody coming in, like, I know, you know, a good amount of people, and my girl Brinks over there, but I want to get to know people, so it feels like a very shortened cycle, and I would say that's really the only downside.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and that is something that I did not mention initially, is the cast that we had at Aresia for my sister who didn't get to go, we did lose three. Mm. After Aresia, so we had to recast those three, and
we gained
three more, and honestly, from a few rehearsals that we've had, because we do have upcoming performances coming up, that these three I feel are utterly amazing and have picked up on a lot of things right off the bat. And I don't know if any of them actually saw the performance at Aresia or not, to kind of even get that impression of it at all. And, I mean, they just took to that ball running, and it's probably the most amazing cohesion that I've ever seen in a production, and I haven't been in that many, but still. So moving back on, like I said, you know, this did get performed at Aresia, which I remember sweating balls over in the car on the way there, because,
like, literally,
I'm like, I'm going to suck. I'm going to mess up my lines. They're going to hate me.
We were stuck in the longest Uber ever, because Aresia was going off at the same time as, like, something was going off at the Boston Pavilion.
Yeah.
And I was having, like, my post-holiday party at my day job, and so, like, a ride that from our house to Boston would normally take 25 minutes took, like, an hour and 10. So, like, she's sweating, but I'm going to be late, and we need to do, like, a whole rehearsing, and I need you to go through, and my makeup's not even right. Like, I'm not in my, I was like, would you please just, like Weston's right there.
Calm your boobs
down. You've done theater before. We've done theater before. It's all good. You've been to rehearsals. You're going to be great. So what? It's at Aresia, and there's, like, a shit ton of people here, and everybody bought tickets to see what was happening.
People bought tickets to Aresia.
Like,
and are investing time that they could be in a queue to see something else.
Totally
don't see you.
Sweat that at all. No big deal.
Don't worry that your mic is dead center.
Yeah, don't even worry about that at all.
I didn't know that until I walked in. I'm like, fuck.
Enter your mind.
But I counted the mics. I'm like, I am dead fucking center stage. I'm like, at least Karen goes first, so I don't have to worry about that. Going back to my question, because it is
But I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. So my biggest thing is, of all the sci-fi that's out there, because I think that sci-fi is a great realm, I think because so much of it is, you know, the fantasy and the fiction, why Star Trek? Because there are plenty of other series that are iconic that I think play well across the idea of swapping gender or even not. But I'm curious, why Star Trek? And even more so, why this particular episode of Star Trek?
I love Star Trek. I love how adventurous it is. I love how dynamic it is. I love it when it's funny because people are in space and having adventures and you get to laugh about it. I like how iconic these characters are. Like, I know you said that there are a lot of iconic characters, but I don't know, there's something about like Kirk and Spock. I mean, we're talking about the people who people first wrote fanfic about, right? These mm-hmm. are characters that people get so excited about. And so I just thought that would be a good place to go. And I'm a huge TNG fan, so I was interested in kind of exploring my Trek fandom myself. As for Tribbles, the minute I thought of doing this, I thought Tribbles, it's got to be Tribbles, because it is so funny and it's so dynamic. And I wanted to do a show from an episode that wasn't about gender mm-hmm. so that what came out was kind of incidental and surprising and interesting, as opposed to just being like what the show is about. This is a show about gender. But yeah, I just wanted something that was funny and dynamic and that we could do with audio more than with the visuals. I mean, we actually have Tribbles on stage, and we do have a bunch of really funny visual things, but it's mostly about the voices and the characters.
All right, so going back now to my initial question.
Yes, I'll
let
you speak.
Like I said, the Tribbles episode that we did was debuted at Arisia this year. And
I got to go to that.
We talked a little bit about the reception, but I wanted a little bit more information on that. Like, I mean, what were you hoping the reception was going to be, and was the reception that you got better or worse than what you were anticipating you were going to get?
Oh, dude.
I can only speak from my perspective, but that is the closest I've ever come to feeling like a real celebrity, and it blew my mind, because the bridge crew came out, and because we didn't have time to do mic checks before really the show was even supposed to start.
Letting in.
So the bridge crew got up there and we did our sound checks in costume in front of a full audience, and they lost their minds, and it was amazing.
I think there was a standing ovation during sound check.
It was amazing.
Okay, you got a standing ovation in sound check?
Yeah, they just did sound check. Yeah. And it was the most amazing thing.
Damn it!
To people. Like, even I was like, wow. And I'm in the back.
They were so excited.
Because, like, everyone's just finding out, you know, the show.
Yeah, we each came out and did a line in character for our mic check. And I got to do the triple mic check, which was amazing. People just, like, they actually lost their minds. I've never had that before. And I was like, this is what it feels like to be, like, Justin Bieber. Not that I've ever wanted to be Justin Bieber, but,
I don't think Justin Bieber even wants to be Justin Bieber anymore.
I would agree with that. They had to turn people away at the door. Like, it was a packed room of probably 200 people, and all of them were out of their minds.
So, I mean, like, at the end of the show, like, when anyone, like, I mean, I know when I finally came from behind stage, because a stalker of mine had shown up, and I was refusing to leave backstage until he left. Liz can attest to this, because she was totally my wingman.
I was, like, I was trying to slowly, like, bodily place myself between you two. It's like, yeah,
it got kind of creepy. But, I mean, I know for me, and I can only speak to me on this, I mean, there were only, you know, me, Liz, and at the time, Damon, who kind of represent in my mind in this spectrum, like the minority of this cast, which has a lot more than most casts do. And I know that I felt an added attention to, you know, be on the top of my game, be on fire, and deliver. And I knew for me coming out that I was like, okay, this is the test for me to know, one, did I achieve all that? And two, are people going to, you know, go, oh, this girl was absolutely amazing in this role, or, oh, I don't know why they went this way. Like, I was just very curious to see what kind of comments I was going to get coming off of the production. And literally, I had, like, maybe four or five people come up to me and be like, you've got great face. You give great face when you deliver your lines. You're very expressive, which was good. And when you go and you see it, Ninja, you'll see it for yourself. But you see my face every day.
I see your face all the time.
So you know.
I know about your face.
And I had one older gentleman come up to me, and he's just like, I can see why you were cast for this role.
Oh, that's nice.
And I don't know who this man was, but I was like, yay!
Well, as soon as you told me what role you got, I was like, well, yeah, duh.
Well, it was pretty funny, because when I came back to him, I'm like, I read for Bones, and I read for Cordelia. And the way I delivered it, she was like, "You're probably getting Cordy. You're probably getting Cordy."
Well, like seriously, I was like, "Your Bones is probably good, but I'm gonna tell you right now."
Oh God, wait till you actually hear Bones. I wish she could have been here today, because you would have heard her and been like, "No, she's Bones."
Yeah. So we're sitting at the table. I'm like, "No, seriously, you're Cordelia."
So I mean,
and I'm like, "If you get a spot, you're Cordelia. It. Like, just accept
that
it.
In
it's
triples.
Cool.
Like, triples, you're already a triple.
You've been a triple your life, but...
Well, by the way, spoiler alert, we all essentially become triples at one point or another.
They multiply, like, fucking triples better than triples, rabbits, man. So everybody ends up a triple. So, just don't eat the grain.
So, I mean... yeah.
Spoiler!
That's an interesting part of the rehearsal process, because when we all came in, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I'm this person, I'm this person. But when I first heard Karen do Kirk, it was like, all right, nailed it, and our Spock is phenomenal.
Yeah,
and, like,
everyone
just really nails their thing. And, you know, it's a nice homage to what we all know, but we've also kind of made them our own part since, I mean, we're gender swapping, so we get to kind of make them our own thing, which has been an interesting part of the process, for me at least.
I think for everybody. Well spoken. All right, so last question really. So what, Mindy and cast, what would you like to see the PMRP gender swap next, in terms of, like, Star Trek? Like, are we going next gen? Are we going Sisko? Are we going Jane? No, I don't want to go. Well, Janeway would be awesome, but that would make Janeway a dude. It'd be Jimway.
Yeah, no.
wait. You could still be Janeway.
No,
because Janeway was the last name.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be
He could just be Cat with two T's Janeway instead of Catherine Janeway.
Like Cat Williams.
Exactly.
That would be hard. But no.
He'd totally be a pimp in space. I'm just throwing that out there as an idea.
But what would we like to see next gender swapped in the Star Trek universe?
I mean, I think a next gen episode could be really fun, and there's a bajillion to pick from. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that because I want to be Worf. I'm just putting that out there
in the
universe.
Who doesn't want to be Worf?
Who doesn't want to be Michael Dorn?
Crazy people, in my opinion.
Like, come on.
Yep. So that I would love next gen, but there's so much.
Please do the episode where Worf goes through puberty, because that would be awesome.
I just want to hear Michael Dorn talk about being like spouting poetry and having rocks thrown at him, and that be like the sexiest thing ever.
We were just talking about that. Actually.
Yeah, we were.
So,
but, like, wouldn't it be whitewashing though?
I can put on makeup.
Oh no.
Shut that down.
Worf can be a ginger. There's nothing wrong with that.
There really isn't anything wrong with that.
I would pay good money to see Worf as a ginger.
My hand's raised. I'd be curious.
I would put cash money on that.
I mean, I know that we've talked about this at rehearsal a couple times, and I mean, I, you know, went back and watched Sisko, because, like, I had watched that biography of the captains. Where
wait, Kirk, who made you watch biography of the
you
captains?
You did. After I got the role, she's like, you need to watch this thing right now. And I'm
and
like,
then you need to watch both Trekkies movies,
yep,
which you didn't watch.
No. Not,
you
no.
should.
I,
thank you.
Wow, guys.
I'm
thanks,
just
guys.
Impressed at the extent of research you forced her through.
Oh, man.
One who had to go through this.
Oh, no. The minute I got it, she was like, one, congratulations to... Now you need reference.
Literally,
now you need understanding.
Gate the popcorn. We're going in the living room, and we watched it right.
I'll even
and
give
there.
You the comfy couch because you need to learn.
Yep.
And that's what
that's right.
I did.
I helped you prepare for this. Step. I didn't even get the role. I was helping you.
Me
get
getting there. The role is like you getting the
role.
No,
it's not.
You're right. It's not. All right, so
you have to audition for the next one.
I have to.
Oh, she's amazing. Oh, stop. But then we'd have to compete.
No, we don't have to compete.
Oh, there's rules. There's
sister
rules,
combat.
But... Look, we've been through this. It's not a competition.
You guys get out your bad lists and just fight to the death.
I have a bad list.
All right, so now some fun questions just to open some stuff up. So to everybody,
they can't be that fun if they're on index cards.
They're fun. They're my fun. Look, it says fun question number one.
It does say fun question.
It's the fun question.
You're so adorable when you prepare. When you're really, really about
doing
this right.
It's like nonchalant question
so
that's also kind of mean.
It's so cute.
I'm like an alicor. I put emotions with my cue cards so I can invoke that emotion.
Okay, you do that.
So fun question. So who is your favorite Star Trek captain? And if you have one... Can you recall your favorite episode that highlights said captain? And we could go around the circle of you lovely ladies.
Okay. Mine's definitely Picard. Because it's Picard.
Yep.
And I think for me it would have to be the one where he's assimilated. That is my favorite TNG episode.
The cutest of Borg.
Yeah. I love that. Because the Borg freaked me out. And I kind of like that feeling of being freaked out by the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Nice choice.
Interesting.
Nice choice.
I'm on Team Picard as well. I had absolutely no background in Star Trek whatsoever until about 3 years ago. My family is not a sci-fi fantasy family. We're a sitcom Bundy's in living color kind of family, like Fox stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So when my roommate came home for Christmas and had all of the Next Gen on DVD, he told me my re-education was beginning at that point. And so Picard won me over in the very first episode, because I'm the kind of person who yells at the screen, like, while watching Lost, where, like, I will cheer for the characters to just, like, just commit suicide and all of this torment will be over. So in the very first episode, when they present Picard with a no-win situation and he's like, all right, I'm going to blow up the ship. I was like, yes, that is my captain. So I've loved Picard ever since, But I'm now watching DS9, and Sisko is slowly worming his way into my heart as well. Mostly, I think, for punching Q, but that's something
really different. That was a good moment.
Yeah. I can do that.
All right. Decisions. Well, Kirk was my first captain, and Sulu gets special mention because he himself has been a captain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to also go with Picard. Well, I'll tell you why, though. Okay, so one of my favorite episodes is I'm terrible at remembering episode names, but there's an episode where Picard basically lives out an entire lifetime.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the
flute. Exactly. I beat you to it.
I think that's probably one of the most emotional Star Trek episodes without any fighting and dying really happening to the crew.
Mm-hmm. They're all just standing around like, if he's in a coma, what do we do?
Yep.
But, I mean, what I really liked about it was that it had a constant presence in his, you know, in his story as a character for the rest of the series. Like, you know, if they find, you know, someone goes to visit him in his quarters, he's just sitting there with the flute, you know, playing the tune that, you know, he said he'd honor them with. And it just, you know, like, he was very much... Like they really humanized Picard in that he always like had this very personal connection with so many of the characters that he encountered in these, you know, one off episodes.
Hmm.
Well, I'm not going to stray from the herd. unlike Karen, I grew up with a sci-fi family and we watched a lot of Star Trek and Star Wars, and my brother and I, every Sunday, CBS would show 4 episodes in the morning of Star Trek The Next Generation. So every Sunday, like, my church was the Church of Picard. So nice. I blame Star Trek for, Picard specifically, for the reason I find bald men attractive.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I blame Riker for why I find beards attractive. So it was a very, like... immersive experience that I think has affected me for the rest of my life. But yeah, it's all about Picard. I don't have a single episode. I just everything about him. I love him.
Yeah, man. I love Picard. I love that he fights and drinks tea and has a lot of meetings. Yes. I love that about him.
Yeah.
But I want to say that Janeway is a close second.
Yep, me too.
Because she is a rock star. She's just really fierce.
You know, that brings up a a cool thing for me that I like talking about with people who are, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Trek fans, because I feel like Janeway is one of the few captains that really hasn't been given a fair shake.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Totally. When you talk about, you know, the series as a whole and really being about the journey and fighting the no-win situations and really being the steward of the ship and kind of the moral compass, I feel like the progression kind of goes from Kirk of just doing what feels right and protecting the people that he can to a Picard that is more of a not so much spontaneous but very cerebral approach to everything, still with the prime directive as the foundation for every decision that he makes, but still having emotion in it, to Janeway really being kind of that next evolution of prime directive plus the care of my crew plus doing what's right and fighting this no situation of ultimately just wanting to get the fuck home.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Like, she maintains through every episode the goal to get home, but she's not going to sacrifice the beliefs in the prime directive and what Starfleet is about in order to attain that goal.
And she sacrifices, like, her own personal life all the time, but she also maintains a lot of humor and a lot of, like, warmth and personality. And, like, I love her holodeck episodes, like, with that Irish town and stuff.
And I love that she encourages the growth in her crew. I mean, Seven of Nine, the Doctor, the way she integrates, Chakotay's people, I can't remember what they were called, but, you know.
The Maquis. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
You know, she encourages everyone to find their place and to grow, and they do, you know, over the seven seasons as much as Mark Berman would let them.
Yes. We won't talk about Mark Berman on the show because this will turn into a completely different podcast and we'll be here for another hour. Because I have loved Star Trek ever since I was a child. It was one of our things that we used to do with
our
mom.
You had a phaser and a communicator wouldn't let me touch because it made the boopy sound.
Yep, and I didn't want it broken so she couldn't play with my phaser. I had a communicator.
I still play with it anyway.
I had an insignia that made the noise so I would walk around all the time before I would say sentences to people and hit my insignia before I would say a sentence until the battery wore out and nobody would buy me a new battery. But Star Trek was one of the big things. Our mom was a huge fan, so when TNG started, it was our Saturday night ritual that we got together at 7 o'clock and we watched the new TNG. Sometimes we had popcorn.
Amanda, you can go to that sleepover, but not until after TNG.
Exactly. And so we did that. My dad would come in and just laugh at us being so into the Trek. But I, like many of you, are the reason why I am so head over heels over British bald actors is because of Picard.
Yeah.
He is my captain, second to Janeway, and then third is Kirk, just because I love the spontaneity. But I feel like, as you look at the progression of the captains, that Janeway just has never really been given the credit that she's been due, and Kate Mulgrew has not been given really kind of the same.
She has just as many struggles as Janeway does.
Any of the other parallels
are amazing between the two.
But I feel like when you look at the fandom, it's very, very polarized into camps of Kirk or Picard. And there's really kind of a subculture of Janeway and Sisko fans.
And that last guy who was in the holodeck the whole damn time.
Don't get me started on Enterprise.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because they fucking Saint Elsewhere that thing, and I was so pissed.
While you were sleeping.
Of course, I couldn't bring myself to watch Enterprise because when they played the first episode and the damn intro song had lyrics, I was like, no!
I gotta take it back and be like, okay, no, Next Gen isn't the first Star Trek I watched. The first Star Trek I watched was, in fact, Enterprise. Oh. And I watched it because I went to college with Hoshi. The girl who played Hoshi went to college with. We one of the 35,000 other students at the university we both went to. And so we watched it, and the opening theme song, if you ever really want to just make people cringe, I mean, you just belt out the first couple of lines from that, and the whole room, it's like someone drags a needle across a wick, and it's fantastic. But yeah, no. Oh, Enterprise. I mean, except for Dr. Phlox, who I will love forever because I love that actor, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you repress that memory, basically.
Yeah, everything yeah. except for the one where they go to the mirror universe.
Oh, God, I hate that episode.
Do you really? How much it was, like, I hate. The only it's time like that show was good.
It's like they were trying so hard. Like, we're evil. By the way, yes. I'm evil. I'm like, Scott Bakula, stop being... You're this is adorable, but please stop.
You know just what? Pick your dog.
If yeah. you want to watch Scott Bakula, just go watch Quantum Leap.
Right, exactly. Quantum Leap is the one to watch. Okay?
It's always one leap away.
Oh. That, seriously, that finale, like, I'm not gonna lie, I cried. I was like, but did he make it home?
Oh, I cried too. No, I cried too. I was just like, what? No, no payoff.
It was hard. Yeah.
It was hard.
Well, I'm kind of glad that we've now transversed, because this kind of ties into my last fun question.
And I didn't even look at your questions.
I know, because I wouldn't let you. And Sarah kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, you know, talking about her love for bald actors and dudes with beards. And I wanted to ask everybody about their Trek awakening. And this could also kind of just be sci-fi awakening or your nerd awakening, really. I mean, I've
awakening. She just wants to know about it.
Yeah. And I've talked about mine on this show countless times about, you know, Labyrinth being my
David Bowie pants.
Yes.
Oh,
and the power of the band.
Yes.
And juggling mirrored balls.
Like, that is weirdly sexy.
It is.
And it's not weirdly sexy. It's just flat out sexy.
And then, you know, the whole, I just, like, surreal things are kind of my thing. And that was really the movie that kind of threw them all together in the same thing.
I've always been very, very upset at Jennifer Connelly in that movie. Because I'm like,
I would have been like,
when you go to the ball, you choose Jared.
You
fuck the kid.
That's Jared.
Okay? Like, I get this dress and you're going to make me your queen and we can just do this all the time? Yes, David Bowie.
You're going to sing at me for the rest
Turn
of my life?
Him into a goblin. I didn't even like that baby anyway. All I did was cry, and, like, I hate blended families.
And he ruined my time to LARP in the park.
Okay, I was just in the park by myself, and I had to come home early to babysit that, and all he did was cry and shit himself. Let's do this.
So I really would love to hear about everybody's nerd sci-fi awakening a little bit.
Wait, so when you say nerd awakening, yeah. do you mean this was my first, like, awakening as a nerd, or is this, are we talking, like, sexual awakening?
Well, here? I mean, if it happens, in my case, it happened at the same time, some people, I mean, like I said, I was like 12, and I'm like, these feels I have, they make no sense. Hey, look, shiny balls! And that's kind of how that worked. So, I mean... Whichever one you feel most comfortable talking about, we are
explicit. The moment that you realized, ooh, I'm a nerd for this particular reason. Thing. Let me sum it up.
Yeah, thanks.
There you go.
Thanks, bro.
No problem. I'm going back in the corner.
I don't know. I mean, I think I've expressed mine, but that bearded beauty, Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, my.
I just...
Don't hurt yourself.
I can't express how much I love him. To this day, I love him. Just the fact that every Sunday morning, me and my brother spent literally half our days, like, cereal bowls in hand, watching Star Trek, and, like... I have never been more happy with them when beards came back into fashion recently, like, in the last decade. It's just like, oh, it's like, you know, number twos all around me. It's so wonderful. So that would probably be mine.
Wow.
It's a thing that happened, guys.
I mean, Jonathan Frakes can have that effect on people.
He's so handsome, right?
He is.
You'll never
Dude,
look at the person.
I don't know. When he whipped out the saxophone, even I was like, hey, how you doing?
He has back problems. He compensated.
Yeah,
there's something
the Riker
with
maneuver,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Riker maneuver.
Mine's
kind of embarrassing. Like, I started out stealing books from my brother's bookshelf, and that was really how I got myself into geekery. But, like, the first series that I got hooked on was Piers Anthony's Xanth series, which I've gone back to since, and the Suck Fairy has gotten to it. It is just not good at all.
No.
But when I was, like, 10, it was just the best thing in the universe. And then, like, from there, I graduated to Robert Heinlein, and it was just, I was done. It was geek all the way.
Nice.
See, mine was just a regular nerd awakening because I was like 7 or 8 at the time because it was Star Wars, A New Hope.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
my
one.
My mom took me to see that at the movies. Yes, Han Solo. I was never a Luke girl. I was like, he's whiny.
Oh, yeah. No.
But I remember my mother took me, but she was also, we went with her boyfriend who was named the Prince. I don't know why.
Okay.
He never wore shoes. And she was reading the thing at the beginning to me, and I was like, I can read that. And she went, no, I'm reading it to him. I'm not sure if he's literate.
I love your mom.
But I would say that that was my first kind of nerd awakening, because every time she tried to talk to me after, like during the movie, I'd be like, shh, I'm watching. So that was it for me. And I think I went back and I made her take me back like the next week to see it again.
Hey, New Hope is bomb.
It brought hope.
It did.
And I'm really hopeful that hopeful that the rumor that's going around that they're going to re-release the trilogy George Lucas on Blu-ray. Yeah. So I am like, because all I have is the old VHSs from back in the 90s.
And I have them.
Yes. That are un-Lucas.
I can't watch them.
And I can't watch them because I watched one of the Lucasified.
I have a VC.
When they changed the Ewok song at the end.
Dude.
Out.
When they had Anakin back in.
Yes. Threw up a little bit in my own mouth when Anakin was standing there. I was like, no, damn you all. And so I have not been able to bring myself to watch them. And I have a VHS to DVD converter that literally I keep in my office to one day rip those VHSs if they don't bring out a version that is un-Lucasified. But now that Disney has it, like, if they do this, this will be the one reason where I'm like, all right, Disney, forever and ever, you shall now have my money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that needs to happen on Blu-ray, and then I need an Indiana Jones collection on Blu-ray that doesn't have Crystal Skull.
I would like
in
this
it.
On Facebook if they announced it.
Oh yeah, I have a non-Crystal Skull collection.
I need a non-Crystal Skull collection.
Wait, what
of Indiana
is that
Jones.
That you speak of? It,
don't watch Indiana Jones and the Crystal
Skull.
Thank you. It's like it's the only time that I've actually been in the movie theater where I've gotten to a point where I almost walked out of the movie because I'm just like, fuck
I mean,
this
I haven't
not
seen it, like, but I heard the elusive fridge scene.
Yes.
And I mean, and I've
like
got,
right there. That's the point.
And I've got props for refrigerators. They keep my food fresh-ish and cold.
But you're not going to survive an atom fucking bomb and being thrown up in the air in a refrigerator.
Puggy Brewster, Cherry nearly died in that refrigerator.
And she was just in the backyard. Okay? She wasn't even surviving a bomb.
Of all the things that suck in that movie, I think that brings down the movie the least, just because it was just as outlandish as so many other things in the
previous.
Shia
LaBeouf.
Wait, they
that's
put
all
a,
I need he, to say. Yeah, Shia LaBeouf.
They put a boy in a refrigerator?
They put a grown man in it.
All right, anyway. And aliens. Indiana Jones.
Okay.
All right, I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
You're right.
Drink your tequila.
Okay, I'll drink my tequila.
That Lucas's original plan for the Indiana Jones movies and Spielberg had to talk him out of it. Am I remembering correctly?
I'm sure Lucas needs to be talked out of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, and if Spielberg is talking you out of aliens, you are so far left of, like, center.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Spielberg, okay? As far as a visionary goes, I love the man. His imagination is phenomenal. But he really needs to just play in the wheelhouse of the shit that he creates, because when he works with other people on their shit, he fucks it up.
Oh, are we talking about AI?
Yes.
I was just going to say AI.
No, that movie is fantastic.
I love that movie.
I black out for about 3 or 4 minutes at the end every time I watch it, but that movie's great.
Okay.
If it's just Jude Law and the teddy bear, I'm fine.
Okay. If it's just... Thank you. If it's Jude Law and the bear, I'm good. But I have read some of the pieces of what Kubrick initially... You laid that movie out to be? Like, the whole last piece of the movie where, like, he meets the blue fairy and shit like that? There's no dialogue.
No, he just sees
this
her,
is done.
And then it fades to black, and it's supposed to be left. It's that's supposed to be the
and that's the end of the fucking movie. None of the explanation. None of you get the date with your mom.
And that's all Spielberg. And that's all Spielberg's doing.
Also, there were supposed to be way more dicks in the structure of the city as opposed to boobs.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, because it's Kubrick. So, like, there's just so many things where I'm like, man. At this point, when he died, they should have just left it alone, because...
And the movie was long enough as it is. We didn't need that 8 minutes at the end.
Cool.
I mean, I would have rather have seen, like, a Duracell battery losing its life
not
for, like, the last 4 minutes.
Visually, though, it's the most gorgeous...
It did.
Visually, it's the most gorgeous thing I've seen, though.
Very much so.
Like, I still like looking at the visuals way more than Avatar.
I agree.
Just the makeup.
So, with...
Plus Jude Law as a sex bot. I'm down with that.
Hey, yeah, right. Gigolo Joe, what do you know?
I know about Gigolo Joe.
I know about... Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Another podcast.
But anyway, so those are all my questions that I really had for you guys.
I only have really...
Do you kind have one more?
One other one that I just think is really cool, because I love when we can get together and talk with people about their nerdery and, you know, what really drives their creativity.
I mean, we should do it more often.
Please don't go Valley.
Sorry.
You haven't had that much tequila.
I haven't had any tequila.
You had a couple of sips.
Like, two sips does not constitute a glass.
You have no idea how much tequila I put in there.
That's true. Anyway, ask your question.
So, but one of the things that I enjoy is talking with people about their nerdery. And, you know, to hear where you guys picked up kind of your geek moments is really, really cool. I think one of the things that I would be curious to know is, you know, how that translated into your continuing to grow that experience. You know, how that particular love of a captain or this series, you know, translated into finding opportunities like being a post-Meridian radio player and, you know, finding ways to express that nerdery in other ways. Because I think one of the things that's very interesting as I talk with people about, you know, their passions and their hobbies is that I'm finding more and more the sci-fi thing is kind of a closeted thing that people enjoy. And it's only as they get older and later in life that they embrace it and they're okay to let their kind of nerd flag fly. And it's really interesting to me when I talk with people who are, for the most part, a little bit younger than I am to find out...
Like me!
Yeah, you. Who do you just always let your freak flag fly, which is
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, that's just kind
of
how I roll.
I know, and I love that. And it's one of the things that I love talking with people about is, you know, when you became comfortable with this just being part of who you are as opposed to a closet hobby. Like, for me growing up, it was a closet hobby. Girls didn't play with G.I. Joes. You didn't talk about sci-fi or watch Masterpiece Theater.
But you did that. You made me try to watch Masterpiece Theater.
I know, and aren't you better for it?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's continue on. But it was one of those things that, like, you didn't, if you were trying to get a guy to actually ask you to go out someplace, you didn't let him know that you were into Star Trek or into Star Wars and could quote Star Wars better than he could around his friends. So, you know, when did you become almost rah-rah about waving your
When was your geek YOLO moment?
Always. All right, I hate that YOLO term. So yeah.
Sorry. Sorry.
No, since I saw Star Wars, always. My mother always supported anything that I was interested in and always said, don't ever pretend to be something you're not. Don't ever pretend to not like something. Yep. And don't ever pretend to be stupid in front of a guy. Don't ever pretend to not like something. Don't be the girl who doesn't eat on a date. So I was always very comfortable just always being myself. And if that kind of meant other people didn't want to be around me or other people didn't want to date me, I was okay with that because I could generally always find someone who did. I was also a Duran Duran fan in the 80s.
Nice.
So
nice.
I am used to derision. I'm all about that. I'm okay with it.
I had the exact opposite problem. And so I have more female friends into geeky things now than I ever have at any other point in my life combined. I was always into cartoons, which is how I got into voice acting. And so my hot little hands in the sixth grade got themselves around a VHS tape of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And like girls were into New Kids on the Block at the time, was into Turtles. I got every cartoon I could get my hands on. I got every comic book I could get my hands on. And I would have people who were my friends 1 minute would like call the house to make me cry, and it never occurred to me to hang up the phone. So, because that's not how girls were supposed to act. And so I became a raging misogynist from seventh grade until I got to college. So it wasn't until I got to college and started meeting other geeky girls that, you know, I'm glad the internet didn't exist when I was in school, because that would have been painful.
Girls could be mean then. Oh, I had a lot of very mean girls.
Well, and I would have had it coming too. I mean, I had a lot of really, really shitty opinions, and I would have deserved the smack bottom that would have come if I had expressed them in the way. Oh yeah. Oh no. Because I shake people on the internet now. That's how everyone in Ninja Turtle fandom knows me, is I had a letter published in a comic when I was 14 telling people that girls can do whatever they want, and that was in 1991 and I'm still doing that now. It's just, but no, it wasn't until now. Like, if you go into my bedroom now, I have a lovely bedroom set that looks like something of a woman of a certain age would have. And then I have Ninja Turtle statuary. And I'm like, if I ever invite a partner back to the house and they don't run screaming because Donatello is like right there in his face, I'm like, all right, that person's a keeper, because this is like, this is shit that just happens now, you know? But it wasn't until I got into college. It certainly wasn't until I started going to like nerd conventions that I found like any sort of level of fellowship, because I guess, you know, again, the internet wasn't around and whatnot. But yeah, my parents really tried, but they no one in my family reads for pleasure. You know, I would get shuttled to the mall because that's what kids would do, and I'm like, I just want to finish reading Jurassic Park, please. But yeah, so things are better now. I go to big nerd conventions and I have statues of Ninja Turtles in my room. It sort of looks like a 13-year-old boy sort of exploded.
With a nice bedroom set.
It's very tasteful, but it's also red to mask the blood from the explosion of a 13-year-old boy.
There's nothing wrong with that, says the girl with the TARDIS that makes noise in her cubicle at work.
There you go.
Nice.
I think for me, there was, like, a blackout period in my adult. So, like, I was always, like, just my whole family's a bunch of nerds. Like, my copy of, I have an original paperback of, I guess it's a first edition paperback of Dune. It's my mother's copy. Nice. My dad learned English as a kid by reading Edgar Rice Burroughs, his Martian, John Carter novels. Mm-hmm. Passed that on to my brother. Like, the whole family, like, before my brother and sister saw me, my dad took them to see Return of the Jedi in theaters on the way over to the hospital.
So you were born.
Born into nerddom. Yeah. And you know, like, every time a Star Trek movie came out, it was a family outing with, like, you know, pop quiz in the car of, like, what's the T in James T. Kirk and all this stuff. Yes, Tiberius.
Sorry.
I
have to answer the question.
It's reflexive. It's important. Then in high school, I just sank deeper. And I mean, just with multiple, especially with role-playing games. And then I went to college and, you know, I basically indoctrinated my roommate because I needed people to continue playing tabletop role-playing games with. And then once I graduated college and, you know, like, tried to become an adult, that's when socially, like, I felt like I was back in, you know, middle and high school, and I was back to being the weird, shy nerd where, back then, at least, there were others that I knew around me who, like, you know, I could be in a club with, and I could, you know, hang out with, and we'd play video games. But suddenly I was like, am I supposed to give these things up now that I'm grown up? And that's when I sort of, like, retreated into a closet for the first time ever. But, I mean, that didn't last very long anyway. And, like, you know, I just, and now, like, as, you know, like, an even older adult, I've fallen back. Now I'm like, oh, I'm interested in going, conventions are a thing that I can do. I can do these things.
And I can afford them.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, I have money. I can just go buy an Xbox. I'm going to go buy an Xbox.
I still haven't managed to do that yet. I'll
download this game.
That's okay. So, we're going to buy a PS4.
I've tried six times. And I'm
no,
just like,
we're going to buy one
I have
one
it in
today.
My hands. I walk up and I'm like, my no, card of money. I should pass it
to you.
We're
going to buy one after this podcast.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I want to buy one.
We're going to do that. We deserve it.
Yay!
Games for everybody.
You work for a living, so you can do nice things.
Exactly. That's right. I have a paycheck coming on Wednesday. We're getting a PS4.
Woohoo!
Yeah! Paycheck?
No.
I had to buy a couch instead.
Hey, but your couch is awesome, Liz.
It is, but now I need a PS4 to play it on.
There you go.
Yeah. Why don't you guys combine your efforts?
I
don't think we have any space for a couch in the playroom.
Well, actually, we're converting it, so we could theoretically end up having space.
We're making a playroom.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, yeah.
Because we're adults.
We're yes. changing. We're changing space.
We're about to bring the 42-inch TV in.
I mean,
it's about to go down.
Everyone has a really great origin story. Like, I feel like mine is not nearly as fleshed out.
No, yours is good. Yours is good, because what you forget is that your origin actually was before Labyrinth.
It was.
Well,
that was my awakening.
That was your David Bowie awakening.
That was my awakening.
Okay? And a lot of people have a David Bowie awakening with that movie. It's not uncommon. But your awakening actually was earlier than that, because you started geeking out when I was given that in television. So I know exactly the moment. Yeah, I know exactly the moment that I became a video game nerd, and that then came into AV, and then ultimately all the tech stuff. And my dad got me an Intellivision that fell off the back of a truck.
Did it really? No.
Yep. Shut up.
No.
Because we weren't spending that kind of money. We didn't have that kind of money. It fell off the back of a truck, and so I got an Intellivision, and it came with 3 games. And Burger Time was one of them, Baseball was another one, and the Keystone Cops game. And I played that thing.
The game is Lock and Chase.
Yes, thank you.
sound really excited.
And I played those games like crazy. And I would not let Amanda touch them, because at the time that I got the system, you were like 4.
Of course.
And
which was so many years ago, 26. But
your awakening was right before you went into kindergarten, because I finally let you play Burger Time, and you would not let me put anything else in that system for like 3 months than Burger Time, and you would just play it like crazy because you love the music of the dancing sausages.
Duh.
Yeah.
Enough said.
So
Who am I?
I know exactly when my awakening was and when yours was.
I'm glad
was.
You remember, because I sure as fuck don't.
Because after that, then you became a Henson nut, and that's when we started going through.
And then I became a Sondheim nut. Correct. Into the woods.
Correct. So, like, I have these moments where, like, I can literally chart how your nerddom has grown as your older sister.
So
it's adorable.
Big.
Because I'm like, you went from, like, straight technical to, like, we're at Mad Theater, and then you came back to nerdery, and then you went, like, off in anime land, and then you came back.
Kinda, sorta. I
kinda,
still have
sorta.
A condo there.
Yeah, that's okay. I have a condo there, too. It's more like a timeshare.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting for me to hear other people's stories because, you know, for me, very similarly, it was a very closeted thing. Like, I didn't have any other girls that I knew through elementary school and through junior high and high school.
I was never in the closet, though. I was just like, I met my best friend, literally, my longest friend in the whole wide world. She was my homework buddy for sixth grade, and I wasn't in, so she called. And I was watching Dragon Ball Z. And I'm like, can you, like, give me 15 minutes? Because this green guy's getting his ass beat by this dude in orange. And she's like, I'm watching that, too. And I'm like, let's watch it together over the phone, really awkwardly. And then 15 minutes later, I'm like, oh, what was the homework? So I can do it. And we should hang out. And we're friends till this day now.
No, and that's a beautiful thing. My experience was different. Like I was saying, you know, I didn't have any girlfriends at all that were into sci-fi, tech, nerd, video games, or anything through elementary school and through junior high and high school, really. It wasn't until college that I finally met a couple
people.
I'm
going to play sports and be popular phase.
I had to do something because the bitches weren't where I was at. So, it got really awkward because I had way more guy friends than female friends.
I know, they were always at the house,
which led people to make some...
Hate that guy.
Assumptions about me that were incorrect. But it just happened to be the stuff that I was into. Most of the females that I knew weren't into them. Like, I was into muscle cars and anime, and no
one
was like...
I still don't get
that.
Shut
up. It's okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But what was really interesting for me is I had a friend in junior high who we both loved cartoons, and so we would create our own strips. Like, she would draw them out when we ever had study classes, and I would do all of the
writing
dialogue for all the panels we would put together, and we would literally create like our own little mini magazines, like graphic magazines, each week in study hall that we would just share with each other in notebooks. We'd never let anybody else see them, and we'd just be like our own little cabal, and it was the coolest thing ever. And I was like, it's a shame that nobody else could get to enjoy these. Like, I think back how amazing it would be now to be like,
oh my god, you
could have
been
pages.
Fucking like famous.
No shit. But the internet didn't exist. I was programming in BASIC. But we would do that, like, every study hall, and then we went to different high schools. And when I went to high school, I went to a private high school, and there was, like, no sci-fi.
Because it's a sin.
Of anybody. And it's all.
It's a sin.
And so it was all, like, on the DL. Like, I couldn't talk with anybody about the new Mortal Kombat game and how amazing Nintendo was. Like, I would sneak Nintendo powers in to read in study hall.
Contraband!
And when people would find out that I had it, like, dudes would call me a lesbian.
Would they fire Fahrenheit 451 you? They burn your books?
No, they didn't burn my books, but, like, I would have dudes that would be like, oh, you can't, you know, do anything with Rochelle because she's a lesbian because
like,
she likes
video
games.
Obviously.
And
sand
people,
like, seriously, because exactly, you like video games, especially Nintendo games. Obviously, you also like vagina.
Not that there's anything wrong with liking vagina.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that liking Nintendo doesn't necessarily equate to liking vagina.
I'm not very good with algebra.
It's okay. There's a lot of people that couldn't solve for X in my high school.
Or Y.
I see what you did there. That was funny. Sorry. Up top.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it's always great to hear and see, you know, now that that's so much less of a thing. And it's one of the reasons why I'd love to go to a re-show, because for the trade shows that we've been going to for the last few years, there's so many more women involved in attending the shows and cosplaying and appearing on panels and creating shows like yours, that it's so, I don't want to say uplifting, because it's not liberating, it's not uplifting, it's inspiring. I'm inspired to see that there are so many more females blatantly in love with the genres, different characters, and embracing and then making those things their own. And
Which is exactly what we're doing with the show.
See, I was going there. What a great.
Look, we were in sync. I love when we do that.
I was going to say that.
I'm sorry.
You said it instead.
Spoilers.
Can I shut up now?
Don't shut up.
I made my point.
But anyway, so on the last tip.
You guys are awesome.
The last tip of this.
That's what I was getting at.
Thank you.
I was trying to get to pay them a compliment, but you cut me off.
Well, it's felt.
Okay.
So, we do have shows coming up, which I want to talk about now.
Yes, do that. Pimp that shit.
So, we have a performance on the 30th and the 31st of May. Yes.
You're only performing in the...
I'm only supposed to be there. I'm only integral to the plot.
So, are you treating the show like you treat the podcast?
No, I believe it's May 30th and the 31st. The show on the 30th is at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
It is in Somerville at Unity Church?
Yep, correct. Unity Church in Somerville.
Yeah. And the show on the 31st is a late show. That's a 10 o'clock show.
It's two shows. You better show up to them.
Two shows.
Okay. Not one.
Well, I need to reread my flyer, but I obviously did not see the first show.
Somebody didn't read for comprehension.
So I'm assuming 7 and 10 for the set for the.
No.
Would be incorrect.
I am wrong. Matinee. Hey guys, correct me.
There's a matinee, and there's a evening show the same time as the Friday show.
Okay, great. Yay! Now I have the correct information.
That's good.
Hey. I'm thinking we're going to have to now, like, arrive at your door in, you know, late morning just to be sure.
Like, hey.
Throw a bag over your head, toss you in the back of the van, and make sure you get the
I can put the bag on her head early.
Hey, you know.
Transporter working. Yes. And we'll just beat her straight to the church.
Yes, thank you.
Just beat me there.
There'll be no trouble at all.
No trouble at all.
And I know that there's a potential inkling that we will see this production again at Boston Comic Con.
Oh, it is more than just a possibility. It is a true fact.
And I know that Boston Comic Con is in August, so that's a little bit ways away. So if you can't make these set of performances, you can hope to God that you can get into Boston Comic Con, which might not be that difficult, and you can catch our performance of Trouble with Tribbles there.
And even if you see it this weekend, you can still come
to Comic Con and see it again.
Keep saying it.
Yeah.
Just keep coming and coming to the show.
Good philosophy for life.
Yeah, it is.
Gets better every time.
Yeah.
So, what is best in life?
So, we are now at the point of the show where...
Oh, it's that point. It's that time.
Yes.
It's where I get to do the business.
No, the business first. Business first.
Yes, business first. Business then first. The shit.
Yeah.
First the business, then the shit.
Yes, do it!
All right, so you want to make sure that you catch podcasts like this very one that we've done and all the other ones that we've done on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can also get our podcast through the iTunes Music Store, either on your desktop by searching for Electric Sisterhood, or on the podcast application on your iOS device, again, searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting that subscribe button, ensuring that you get our brand new episodes the moment we put them out on the web, popping fresh for your ear holes, for your oral pleasure, as it would be. You can also get our podcast through the Microsoft Store and many different podcast aggregators. You can also pick it up on the Voice of Geese Network, VogNetwork.com, right before Anime Jam Session on Tuesday. Brand new episodes of our podcast go out Monday-ish, definitely Tuesday morning, but You can follow up our podcast with other shows that come out through our network, like No Borders, No Race, Held Down by King Baby Duck. If you like indie, whether it's music, whether it's anime, manga, movies,
theater,
you definitely want to make sure that you check out No Borders, No Race over at b3crew.com, because KBD, pretty awesome at holding that shit all down on lock. On Wednesday, if you need more in your life, then you must make sure that you subscribe to the Geek Aggro podcast, Held Down by our homeboy Deuces Wild, because if it's trap, if it's EDM, if it's got bass in your face, it's probably on Geek Aggro. You definitely want to check that out. And then finally, on Thursdays, if you've got issues...
He's got issues.
Y'all can have issues
together.
The Issues Guys program, call in live, be on the videos, on the YouTubes. It's kind of awesome.
It is awesome.
It's definitely awesome. Call in, Vetch, with your issues. Share your topics. Share your thoughts.
It's free therapy.
It really is. So for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. Interact with us. Ask us questions. Let us know if there's something you want us to check into and have an opinion upon, because we will. We
I already have it. You just haven't asked
me. You just haven't asked for it. We'll give it to you. We're also on Twitter, at ESH News. That way you can check up on all the stuff that we write upon, all the podcast episodes, and things that are just going on in the neighborhood. And then, as always, if you want to check out our written reviews, previews, and live event coverage, like E3, which is coming up, whoop, 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 whoop,
for those of us who are going,
then you want to make sure that you check out our page over at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood and check out all of our written stuff. It's coolness upon pretty awesome sauce. So, with that, this is the point in the show where I turn first to my sister and say, hey, sis.
Hi.
What shit you digging this week?
Our friends who are on the show today.
You know, you I always get the fucking easy out whenever we have a guest on. You're always like, our guest thing.
But here's the thing, okay? And I'm going to be real
intimate. Don't get me wrong. You're fucking awesome.
I'm going to be really intimate and like...
Are you going to have like a moment of truth?
I'm going to have a serious moment. I have such talent lust for everybody in our cast. Like, aww. I'm like,
Do you write little love notes to them that yes, you never send?
I'll never give them. Ever.
It's not mine.
They are amazing, and they inspire me to be awesome every time I come to rehearse and perform. And if you can go to a place and feel like yourself 1,000%, then you're home. And that's what I feel like when I go to perform with these people.
Great. I have to fucking follow that.
I'm sorry.
Are you for fucking real right now?
That's the truth.
And how much do you love us?
I was going to say marshmallows. Like, what the fuck?
Marshmallows are just as awesome.
I can't follow that with marshmallows.
Well, you could.
That's not cool.
I'm sorry. It's the truth.
I accept your love of marshmallows.
Thank you. Yeah. Marshmallows are the shit, especially when you make them in s'mores.
Yes, man. Yes.
And I would really like to make some s'mores on the fire in the backyard.
But now I have to turn to you and ask you what shit you did.
S'mores!
Okay, great.
Still not as good as that.
So now let's open it up to our guests. Is there anything that's so awesome that you dig right now?
Yesterday I went to my first ever air guitar competition.
Oh.
And I gotta say, I dug it. So
air guitar is fucking legit.
That sounds
so
cool.
It was hilarious. It was weird. It was funny. It was something completely different from anything else I've ever experienced. So if you guys get a chance to see an air guitar competition, I think you'll dig it too.
Awesome.
Oh, and I also dig you guys, because you're amazing.
Oh, shucks. Thanks. I'll blush in 15 minutes. It takes me that long.
I'm already blushing, but that's because I'm drinking.
Yeah, you're already pink in the face.
I am.
I dig 1990s point-and-click adventures from Sierra, because I've been playing Quest for Glory 1 the past, like, 24 hours, and I'm obsessed with it.
That's some good shit.
That's good. That's a good one.
I dig the fact that Doctor Who is back in August.
Yay!
Yay!
Doctor Who!
Mine's very self-centered. Yesterday I passed my rigging test at Boston Community Boating, so I can go out on the Charles in my own boat and drown. This is going to be awesome.
You can be a real captain of
my ship. I will!
Oh my god!
We have a real captain!
We have a real captain.
Oh,
that is so cool.
That was my weekend.
Let's do Gilligan's Island next.
Okay, well, actually, you're talking about 90s point-and-click games. I've been rediscovering my love for point-and-click games via, like, Android games. I've been playing Broken Sword on Android.
Ooh, good one!
It took a minute to pick up in my mind, like, it grew on me, but it's, like, thoroughly, like, a, you know, it's a pretty well-done game.
Yeah, it really is. Panda, you were
told me to like.
Is it something that us Mac people can play too? Okay, I'll go get it after the show.
You guys.
Yeah. we actually have a contact that emailed us about that.
I should look in my mailbox.
Pretty sure we have a review code for that
actually.
Yeah. You might want to check your email. I thought you would
Community
jump on that.
Community management!
Yeah, I thought you would jump on that one, which was that I didn't touch it.
Sorry.
Great job.
Yeah.
I have one job.
High five. Oh, wait, no.
No high five.
Well, ladies, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really an enjoyable hour. I hope that we can have you on again at some point in time just to talk general nerdery. Or, you know, any shows that are coming up, because I think that, pretty much you're awesome. And we would just love to have you on the show again.
Everyone is awesome. Everyone is cool when you're part of the team.
Stop it. No Lego song.
And you live, and am I not supposed to continue?
Oh. Thanks, Liz!
I'm a helper.
I'm a builder! I'm a master builder! No, I'm not.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. As always, I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And until next week, we're out of here.
Stay classy, Boston.